Trendstorm.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and Trendstorm. My name is Andrew Kripko, and I'm going to give you a forward focus analysis of things to come and the general trends behind them. Here's what we have for you today. BRICS Summit, Russia's return to Africa. Next week's BRICS Summit in the South African city of Johannesburg will see President Putin's personal participation in a symbolic move that heralds Russia's return to the continent. Pakistan, the most pivotal election. Pakistan goes to the polls next Wednesday to choose its next government following a prolonged corruption scandal and amidst a new wave of terrorist destabilization, with this election being perhaps the most pivotal in the country's history given the stakes involved. And also, Mediterranean migrants, Europe's hot potato. Southern Europe is becoming embroiled in an international controversy over the fate of the endless waves of migrants crossing the Mediterranean, with these people proverbially being treated like a hot potato and passed from port to port because nobody really wants them. Opening up this edition of Trendstorm is the upcoming BRICS Summit. Next week's BRICS Summit in the South African city of Johannesburg will see President Putin's personal participation in a symbolic move that heralds Russia's return to the continent. The event will also bring together the leaders of the organization's other four members too, as well as Turkish President Erdogan and a few other distinguished guests, but it's President Putin's visit that carries with it a lot of historical weight. The Soviet Union used to be one of the most powerful forces in Africa during the Cold War, but Moscow's influence drastically waned over the past 2.5 decades to the point where there was scarcely any Russian presence there at all, the first time that President Putin visited sub-Saharan Africa in 2006. In the half-decade since his last visit in 2013, a lot has changed across the world with the advent of the new Cold War, but especially in terms of Russia's newfound role in Africa. Moscow has taken the lead in training the armed forces of the Central African Republic, using a handful of its own troops and several dozen private security contractors under the aegis of the UN, thereby helping to stabilize parts of this war-torn country that the rest of the world had written off as a hopelessly failed state. Russia's renewed relations with some former Soviet partners like Mozambique and Angola are also figuring more prominently in its continental policy, as is its fast-moving friendship with Sudan. Moreover, energy and mining interests have come to replace outdated ideological ones all over the continent. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov recently paid an unexpected working visit to Rwanda, the sitting chair of the African Union, and announced that his country plans to host a Russian-African business forum next year that observers predicted would be modeled off of what China's been doing there for years already. Russia's new appeal to Africa is that it could become a provider of comprehensive security, energy, and mining solutions, thus making it an alternative to the more or less binary choice between the U.S. and China nowadays, though it lacks the economic development expertise to confidently compete with either of those two in that particular sphere, ergo next year's planned forum. In any case, the occasion of President Putin's return to Africa is a relevant reason to discuss Russia's strategy towards the continent and its future prospects after the BRICS summit. Folks, I gotta say, this is one of my most favorite topics, but many people know nothing about that, and that's why I'm so happy that here at Trendstorm we can enlighten you more about what's happening across the world. So our first guest for this segment today is Mr. Kwanele Makwesa. He's a Johannesburg financial consultant and political commentator from Nyaki, southern Zimbabwe.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Kwanele, BRICS hasn't really had much of an effect on the rest of Africa besides the member state of South Africa, but how likely is it that the bloc's upcoming summit on the continent and Russia's renewed interest there might change that? And Kwanele, what realistic opportunities are available for even doing so?
Well, BRICS was always a long-term project. It wasn't a short-term project. I think everybody understood it. And the impact that it would have, on the rest of the continent was always expected to take a bit of time. So I think BRICS is well on schedule. I think considering the scale of what they're trying to achieve in terms of what the former president Zuma explained, I think that BRICS is still on schedule and on time. I guess we didn't expect much in the first decade. I think that's the only way I can answer that question for now.
Okay, I see. Well, if we can maybe expand on that a little bit. I mean, Russia's recently shown an interest in Africa again, something that it hasn't really had, you know, ever since the end of the Cold War. So what do you think is driving that? I mean, some observers say it's because of security interests, others say it's because of resource extraction, and others say that it, you know, just in general helps to have diplomatic friends at the UN. So what do you think is behind Russia's renewed interest in Africa?
Well, it's all part of the BRICS ideology. You remember that BRICS was started by Russia and China. Now we have to look at BRICS, because BRICS is supposed to end up as a certain framework by which these countries are going to be projecting power globally. So the idea is to reorder the global architecture, isn't it? So when I look at Russia, I think Russia is within its timeline and it is doing what it was expecting that by now it would be doing, looking at its own capabilities and the nature of its own economy and politics. Because what you must realize about Russia, Russia is slightly different from China, because Russia has its own resources. Russia is unlike China, which is coming into Africa, trying to extract resources from Africa, trying to get resources to actually drive its industry, drive its industrialization, further industrialization, et cetera, et cetera. But Russia has its own resources, and when it comes to Africa, there's a different approach. What it wants from Africa is totally different from countries like China. So Russia is well within its schedule, and it's expected that by this time it will be behaving the way it is behaving.
Okay, I got it. Very interesting how you drew the distinction between China and Russia's resource interests in Africa. I thought that was very valuable. Now, Kwanele, all countries need security and development, both of which are unfortunately lacking in many African states, but Russia pretty much only has a competitive advantage in providing solutions for the first mentioned, security. So can it go it alone, or will it need to partner up with someone like China or India in seeking to provide development for its African partners?
Okay, as an African myself, I'm going to say something now. The way Russia is approaching Africa is like the wisest policy right now in comparison to all the great powers that are in Africa. So Russia seems to understand the African far much more than the Chinese and the Americans and everybody else. Why do I say that? Russia, you see, if you look at China, for instance, yeah, China came into Africa to get resources for itself. And the way it is going about it has generated a lot of negativity towards it. But Russia is coming into Africa to deal with a very important problem that the African has. That is the security problem that we have. Now, if you look at how Russia has engaged itself in the CAR, Central African Republic, what it did there is that it exported weapons, and it is institutionally or helping to institutionally build that country. If you look at the Central African Republic, the Central African Republic is not really a well-governed state. It doesn't have the institutions that make it to become a credible state. Now, what Russia is doing right now, it is helping the Central African Republic to become a state, to stand on its own and be a viable country. And it is doing that in many other African countries. And this is what Africa precisely needs right now. Africa does not need a great power that is going to come in to extract resources or to just trade with us. No. What Africa needs right now is a great power that will come into Africa, empower African states to be able to defend themselves, empower African states to be able to become viable entities. If you look at the situation that happened in Libya, for instance, and you look at what is happening now in Nigeria and all that region there, there is another great power that many people don't realize is present in Africa, it is France. France is actually more visible and more active than the United States in Africa. So France is actually affecting many other African countries, and it benefits from African state weakness. That is how it functions. It functions by benefiting from African state weakness. Now, African states need to become strong, and the countries that seem to be dealing with that, that seem to be helping African countries to become strong and stand alone, is actually Russia. And in the process, it is finding deals for itself, and I expect it to continue finding deals for itself, where it is going to make a lot of money in the process. Because as we speak now, African countries are becoming far much more wealthier. They are getting, if you look at Nigeria, for instance, Nigeria is signing deals of upwards of $40 billion, you know, $20 billion, rail construction, et cetera, et cetera. And most of these things, Russia can actually get involved in them also. I don't know if I'm communicating exactly what I want to communicate to you.
No, I thought this was very clear, and you have some intriguing and out-of-the-box observations. So, Quanelli, we just have about a minute left, and I just want to make sure our audience understands everything. If I get what you said correctly, what you're saying is that Russia is helping to build states and state institutions to make African countries more viable, to enhance and make their governments more efficient, and in the general sense of things, to provide a third-party balancing role between the U.S. and China or France or whatever else, basically being that alternative that Africans have needed this whole time. Do I get you correctly?
That is exactly what I'm saying. This is exactly what Russia did for China after the First World War, or it was the Soviet Union then. That's exactly what it did. It helped China to be able to conquer or reassert itself in its own territory, to take charge of its own territory. That's what needs to happen right now in Africa. Look at the situation in Libya. Libya needed to control its own territory. It had done that, and it needed to defend itself. But it didn't have the weapons to defend itself when NATO came for it. So it didn't have a deterrent. But you look at countries like Iran, for instance. Iran has a deterrent. It is strong. Now, Nigeria is rapidly industrializing. It's rapidly developing right now. But its security is not guaranteed. This is the main problem in Africa right now. And if you look at the situation that happened in Libya, what happened? Nigeria wanted to build the Trans-Saharan pipeline that was going to export gas to Europe. But Nigeria ended up not developing that pipeline. Why? Because of what happened in Libya, the security situation in the whole Sahara region was totally destabilized. So at the end of the day, Nigeria is now trying to sign another deal to go all the way around with Morocco this time so that it can export gas to Europe. You see that it is affecting Nigeria's development. So the security issue and the development issue, they are intertwined in Africa. They are one. They cannot be separated. So what Russia is doing is exactly what Africa needs. That is what Africa needs right now. Africa needs a great power that is going to not only export weapons, but it's going to help to have the human capital to be institutionally strong enough and to become efficient enough to run its own affairs and defend itself from external hegemon. And you can see that the only thing that is doing that right now is Russia. And I think it's because of the history that Russia has with Africa, the fact that Russia has been engaged in Africa under the aegis of the Soviet Union for a century now. It understands Africa better than China, for instance.
Quanelli, it was so valuable to have an African perspective on this important topic, and it was really refreshing to hear your vision on how Russia's security solutions can help the entire continent develop. I sure learned a lot, and I'm sure that our audience did too. Thanks a lot for that. Now we're going to hear what Mr. Engin Ozer has to say. Engin is a political analyst and editor of the Voice of Africa Information Outlet.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Engin, how important is the renewal of Russia's Soviet-era relations with countries such as Mozambique and Angola to its 21st century strategy for Africa, and what advantages do these partnerships provide for Moscow as it seeks to reestablish its strategic foothold in Africa under modern-day conditions?
The relations degraded with these countries in the post-Soviet period, yeah. Angola and Mozambique got independence with support of Cuba, and this fact a great advantage to Kremlin. Angola is one of China's largest oil exporters. Angola's economy is largely dependent on Chinese and American investments. For this reason, it's difficult for Russia to establish a strategic relationship in the near term with Angola. But Russia's new position in Africa will make stronger Angola against China and the United States. Situations for Mozambique is totally different. Already this country has good relations with Moscow. For example, every time when I go to Mozambique, I meet someone who speaks Russian. It indicates how deep these old relationships are. Both energy and military sense, Mozambique is open to any kind of strategic cooperation with Russia. Mozambique really needs to Russia. It's observed that the necessary strategic steps have already taken place. The closed political and military allies in the Africa of the Kremlin will probably with Maputo. Collaboration with this strategic country, who has 2,470 kilometer coastline to the Indian Ocean, will change geopolitical balances in the region. Russian interests are based on several strategic reasons. the most important are energy resources and energy production. Russia also interested with uranium and lithium mining. Russian statement company Rosatom has signed agreements with many African countries to establish nuclear power plants. At the same time, the African energy market is turning to a good opportunity for Moscow. Under sanctions, Russian government to build nuclear plants is a serious income, and these investments require long years of stay in great European countries. This process will cause to Russians to be less affected from sanctions. And Africa really needs as an alternative to Russia.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, right now, it seems like, as you said, Russia's role is to kind of provide an alternative between the U.S. and China. And I'd like to talk more about that a little bit later. But for now, I want to focus on the Central African Republic, and I want to ask you about your views on what Russia's doing there, because through a combination of arms and other military assistance, Russia is trying to stabilize this very war-torn and failing state. Now, do you believe that Moscow might be experimenting with the new security-driven model for resolving African conflicts like it's already attempting to do in the Mideast? Or should we just look at what it's doing in the Central African Republic solely as related to the Central African Republic and not part of anything bigger?
The process which started in the Republic of Central Africa was spread to the whole of Africa. Kremlin new doctrine in military terms will be a serious alternative for African countries. It's the fact. Also, Russian army is serious deterrent force. The most important problem in front of return Russians to the Africa will be a terror. Russians have serious experience in the fight against terrorism. They are professional military intelligence, personnel, and equipment. Therefore, the Kremlin is on its way to solve this problem determined. Training and supporting of local security forces like Turkey and Somalia instead of continuing military build, and some countries will give effective results. Anyway, the political stability in these countries is essential for the protection of huge investments such as nuclear power plants. For this reason, it's understandable that the Russians are closely interested in security in these countries. Otherwise, there is serious ignorance in the region against radical Islamic movements. Education, religion studies are important in this perspective. 14% of Russian populations are Muslim, and radical Islamic movement problem is threatening the Moscow administration too. And I think Kremlin can use education experience against radicalism in Africa.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea, Engin, and there's a certain logic to everything that you just explained to us. Now, I said we'll return to the idea of Russia balancing between the U.S. and China and Africa, and this is what I want to wrap up everything with. You've done a great job of explaining how Russia can provide an alternative to resource extraction and security solutions provided by the U.S. and China, but at the end of the day, everybody is looking for development, real sector economic development. So do you think that Russia will be able to devise a model to compete with what the U.S. and China are presenting to Africans, or is this just way too ambitious of a vision at this point in time?
It's understood that Russia will develop economic cooperation with the nations which, like the South African republics, has given strategic importance to its foreign relations. Beijing administration investing to Africa with giant budget, independent of BRICS organization. So China will be a serious opponent in economic sense for Moscow. Unfortunately, I don't think that Russia can be allowed to land under existing sanctions. There is already trade agreements between many sub-Saharan countries with Western. Moscow needs more time for landing African governments. Russia should sign free trade agreements with some allies in black countries like Mozambique or Sudan or Eritrea. These trade agreements cause long-term relationship. On the other side, under Trump administration, American government will begin to work with Saudi Kingdom for African investments. Russia with Turkey can be offered new option against Saudi-American partnership for African Muslim countries. This initiative can be alternative finance structure for African finance market. By the way, Russian arms trade with Africa is in the main rhetoric for Western-based anti-Russian propaganda. Against this propaganda, Russia should support humanitarian and infrastructure assistance, health matters, and education for Africa, especially for the African people's problem of reaching to medicine. Russia can offer cheap and high-quality medicines. Russian medicines can be the leader of this market. Also, Africa for Russian petrochemistry industry can be a good market. It's really possible. On the other side, for Russia, possibility of alternative against sanctions, Africa will be a new exit. If the Russian Minister of Economy can develop the raw material barter system in the trade with Africa, it will grow Russia's trade in Africa.
Engin, this was really an eye-opening discussion that I hope will enlighten our audience about Russia's growing role in Africa and some of the challenges inherent to expanding its influence there. So folks, if we think back on what both Quanelli and Engin both shared with us today, I think that we can confidently conclude that Russia is back in Africa, even if it is silently under the radar expanding its influence. That said, there is some that remains to be desired, in the sense that Russia has no developmental model, well, as of yet. What Quanelli drew our attention to, though, and was very important, is that providing security solutions will allow Russia and the rest of Africa to get to the point of having sustainable and secure developmental policy. So at the end of the day, it looks like Russia is proverbially laying the first brick that's needed to bring Africa into BRICS and move it into the multipolar world order. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.